when you first start listening to these recordings, anything or everything is unexpected, because a lot of people think the oceans are silent, and when you listen to these recordings, it's quite perplexing, you know. It's like going to a pub where there's a lot of talking, different volumes, and it's the same for underwater recordings. Well, initially I started recording of sounds underwater in maybe 2006 or so.
This is Ivan Nagelkirchen. Ivan is an associate professor from the University of Adelaide.
Fish are very vocal too. They are very noisy. They talk a lot to each other. They communicate. They use it for courtship, for defense. A lot of fish actually are able to produce a whole suite of different melodies and noises.
You know, everyone kind of imitates a fish being like, Do they sound like that, or what?
No, that's a goldfish that comes to the surface and gulps up air. But marine fish don't do that. So they can be clicks and pops and purring sounds, it's chirping sounds. It's quite diverse.
And you know what else fish can do? Burp. Now, if you listen closely underneath that crackling sound, you'll hear some fishy noises. Listen carefully. Now, it may just sound like some bubbling, but that's actually fish burping. But what's that crackling sound? Is it just the microphone? Are they near some underwater pocket spurting out air?
Most of the underwater sounds is produced by snapping shrimp.
It's the shrimp.
And these guys here use their claws to make very loud snaps. And these snaps are used to communicate with each other, to fend off predators, but also to capture prey. So the velocity at which they snap their claws is so high that you actually get cavitation of the water, which forms a air bubble, and that leads to a loud snap. It's just like in old submarines where the propeller at high speed would create air bubbles.
Why look at the sounds in the ocean?
Well, that's a very good question. Why is it important? Because research has actually shown that larvae of fish, but also invertebrates, such as crabs and oysters and so on, corals even, that they respond to underwater sounds. And that's not strange, because by far the majority of marine species just release their eggs and let them float away with the ocean currents. So these larvae end up kilometers, sometimes hundreds of kilometers offshore. But at some point, they need to return to the coast. So if you're out there in the ocean, in a you know, dark blue ocean, and you don't have a clue where to go, well, that's problematic if you need to return to the coast. So most species of larvae have, through time, evolved into developing very sensitive senses, particularly hearing. So that means that while they're drifting in the ocean, if they pick up sounds, they can actually use that as a orientation cue to navigate shoreward. What we found is that global stressors such as ocean acidification, which result from the increasing greenhouse gas emissions by humans into the atmosphere, that process as well as nutrient pollution, both lead to very rapid habitat degradation. And what we've observed is that in these degraded habitats, the biological sounds are less diverse and less loud. So that's actually a negative feedback. So you lose habitat for example, your fishes, as a result of which your habitat is less loud, as a result of which larvae have more difficulty in hearing a degraded habitat, as a result of which your adult populations become smaller.
It becomes kind of like a quiet chaos in the ocean.
Exactly. I did, for example, recordings at natural CO2 vents. So around the world, there are volcanic areas where CO2 is released from the bottom. So, for example, we were there with a boat, and I had a hydrophone with a audio recorder. And this audio recorder, I would put in a big barrel, and that barrel is attached to an anchor, and I would just anchor this barrel onto the reef with the hydrophone and the water microphone just dangling a few meters above the reef. And the next morning, I would just pick it up, download those sounds on my computer, erase the memory card, put it back in the recorder, put in new batteries, and then record it again overnight at a different site.
Just for example's sake, when you were recording there, and maybe even if you were doing a recording here in Australia on our coast, how did the two recordings, I guess, in sound and loudness differ?
Well, at control sites, at these vents, and at a healthy kelp forest here in Gulf St. Vincent in South Australia, they are very similar. You just hear a lot of clicks and snaps by snapping shrimp, so very abundant and very loud. And you also hear lots of background sounds of fishes, and you hear the rasping sounds of urchins. That's when you replay sounds recorded from degraded reefs or from these directly on these CO2 vents. It's actually much, much quieter. You don't hear as many sounds, and they're not as loud.
When you listen back to these recordings of when it's really quiet working in this space, is that upsetting to you?
Yes, definitely, because humans are impacting the ocean in so many different ways, and this is yet another way. What we've also found is that ocean acidification not only affects the habitat sounds, but it also affects the ability of fish larvae to interpret these sounds. So, for example, when you raise fish larvae under high CO2 conditions, again, as predicted for the end of the century, you actually see that they're not attracted to biological sounds anymore. So instead of swimming towards the sound, they simply don't respond or swim away.
Oh, and so that means it could just, again, change that dynamic. They're not listening out for sounds because they don't really know what they are.
Exactly, yeah. And we also found on top of that, that the snapping shrimps are responsible for the majority of sound production underwater. So not only does their habitat decrease, as a result of which you have fewer snapping shrimps and therefore less sound, we also found that ocean acidification in itself also alters the snapping behavior of these shrimps. They simply become more quiet. So that's a double effect. So quieter shrimps and fewer shrimp lead to habitats which are by far more silent.